Caribbean Unlimited.
Hello, I'm Matt Wells with Media Talk Extra on the Murdoch Musical Chairs. We've been expecting it ever since News Corporation took over Dow Jones, publisher of the Wall Street Journal, and now it's happened. Les Hinton, Murdoch's main man in the UK, is to take the reins at Dow Jones, and Robert Thompson, editor of the Times of London, is to become publisher of the Journal. Rupert's son James, currently chief executive of BSkyB, which is controlled by News Corp, will replace Les Hinton and additionally takes charge of the entire News Corp empire in the UK, Europe and Asia. He also remains non-executive chairman of BSkyB. And James Harding has been announced as the new editor of the Times, as predicted by Media Guardian. Well, what does it all mean? We'll hear from Media Guardian's Stephen Brook and, of course, long-time Murdoch watcher Emily Bell shortly. But first, let's go to Andrew Neil, former editor of the Sunday Times, and by accident of fortune, guest editor of Media Guardian this week. He says the appointments put James Murdoch in pole position to take over from his dad.
Well, I think there's no doubt of that, that James Murdoch is the coming man and the one likely to succeed his father, insofar as Murdoch has these dynastic ambitions. Whether it comes around like that, people forget that although Rupert Murdoch dominates News Corp, News Corp is a publicly owned company in which the overwhelming majority of shareholders are major institutions. So it doesn't follow that when Rupert goes to the great newsroom in the sky, that there is necessarily a seamless transition to James taking over. But certainly, man in pole position.
And what's the business implications of this? Murdoch is doing this because he's just taken over Dow Jones and the Wall Street Journal, and he wants to get all his key lieutenants in the right places.
Yes, Rupert Murdoch is a man in a hurry and a man with an obsession. His obsession now is the Wall Street Journal. Everything will take second place to the Wall Street Journal, and lieutenants and allies and resources will be dragged in from the four corners of his empire to carry out his will at the Journal. That means, as a result, he is stepping back from a major role in Britain, a major personal role. Obviously, the company retains it. This is part of a process. He's not as active in Britain as he was anyway before, but now effectively, in order to concentrate on revolutionising the Journal, he's outsourced the United Kingdom to his son.
So his son takes on the Times, the Sun, and the News of the World, and all those other outposts of his empire in Europe and Asia, while Murdoch Senior concentrates on what he sees presumably as the main event. And who is he taking on with the Wall Street Journal, do you think?
Well, he is moving the editor of the Times, Robert Thompson, over to be publisher of the Wall Street Journal. And he's moving Les Hinton, who is his chief executive in London, over to be chief executive of Dow Jones, which is the holding company for the Wall Street Journal.
And what's the reason for all of that? Who does he see as the competition for the Wall Street Journal and Dow Jones?
We have tended to concentrate on the implications for the Financial Times for the Wall Street Journal, since they're the two great global rivals. But actually, that's not what Rupert Murdoch has got his sights on. He regards the FT as largely irrelevant. He's got his sights on the New York Times. He wants to gear the Journal up to take on the New York Times in what is now his home city. That's what gets his juices going. That's why he's bringing in all these resources from the far-flung outreaches of his empire to concentrate in New York. It's very much a Murdoch way of doing things. When he got me to launch Sky Television, and we had very meager resources way back in 88, 89. Suddenly, I had made available to me his top people from Australian and American television who came over to live here to help me launch Sky. It's how he does things, and this is it in a grand scale.
Bill Keller at the New York Times will be quaking in his liberal boots today, then, you think?
Well, I don't think the New York Times needs to quake in anybody's boots, including its own. It's in the most powerful newspaper franchise in the world. But they do have, in a way, a new, or let's even call him an old kid on the block. And he's fired up and he's ready for some action. And you know something? It'll do the New York Times a world of good as well. These big American city newspapers are quite often lazy monopolies. The biggest newspaper battle of the early part of the 21st century is about to begin.
So that's Andrew Neil's big prediction, while Stephen Brook is press correspondent for MediaGuardian.co.uk. He's been hitting the phones in the Media Guardian newsroom and says that James Murdoch will be at Wapping next week.
He will be running News Corp Europe Asia from the News International offices, which insiders there say puts the newspapers at the heart of Murdoch's empire once again. They're all very excited, as one journalist there actually said to me, you know, it's a bad time to be old, News International, because it's a generational change. So he will come in. People are wondering whether he will do what he did at Sky, which is bring in a big new team of people, different people, but they're definitely looking at a very commercial focus for the business.
What will this mean for the Times and the Sun papers? Will they take a very different direction, do you think, commercially?
Well, if you look at what Murdoch did at Sky, he did innovate, he did do a lot with broadband, he went against what the city told him to do and got very severely punished with the share price when he said, no, we're going to invest in marketing, et cetera, which went against the perceived wisdom, but that soon became a triumph and Sky subscriber numbers were boosted dramatically. So everything, I think, is going to be fair game and up for discussion.
That was obviously a very important News Corp source on the phone to Stephen Brook there. So elsewhere in Guardian Towers today, Emily Bell broke off from important duties as Director of Digital Content to give her reaction.
Every so often, there's a seismic shudder and the tectonic plates of News Corp changes and the world has to change around them. And I think we've just experienced one of those. I think that James's ascension is fairly significant from the UK and the European point of view. But I think globally, the getting into the ring sort of with Dow Jones and saying we're now going to really go for areas that we think we can dominate in the 21st century is you can see the infrastructure of that plan now being put in place.
Spectacular rise for James Murdoch.
I will not make myself popular for saying so. I think well deserved. I think he's had a phenomenal run at Sky. I think he's established himself as, I'm sure that there are kind of, you know, as with all sort of, you know, great leaders, there will be, I'm sure, substantial flaws in his character. But I think he's fought a very sort of clever battle on a number of fronts at Sky. I think that at a time when, you know, some of his peer set are really floundering and struggling, he's kind of kept their confidence up. I think that they're sort of quite challenged in some areas, but my God, have they got sort of corporate confidence that they're going in the right direction. And I think that, you know, kind of if everyone who knows him or his father sort of with any degree of sort of intimacy will say that they are quite similar in some ways. And I think that, you know, James has enormous intelligence, but also kind of an aggressive drive, which can manifest itself in petulance.
Does it mean that because Rupert's putting James in charge of the British operation, that Rupert's interest in UK politics is waning?
Rupert's interest in UK politics, in all politics, I think is slightly waning. Business is where it's at, because global institutions have more political capital now than federal governments. You know, this is the case. You know, it is more important for Rupert to kind of know what's going on in the minds of Google than it is for Rupert to be really great mates with Gordon Brown, for instance. You know, he's kind of interested in sort of the UK, he's more interested in America, but also he has, I think, you know, the Journal is really significant because it says, also says a great deal about what's happening sort of in the geopolitical power shifts, which is it's going to go ebb from the west, it's going to kind of rise in the east. He's been positioning himself for that for years. And I think that sort of, you know, that having been close to the heart of the business community is as important these days as being close to the heart of political power.
Why is it, do you think, that when Rupert Murdoch does something like this, we all get really excited about it, but if, you know, if some other media mogul did a similar thing, we wouldn't be so interested? What is it about Murdoch that gets the juices flowing?
Because he is a genius. I mean, I'm not being flippant. I saw his Michael Wolff, his biographer, the other day, and we were just agreeing that he is a genius, and you may feel that he's used his superpowers for ill rather than good. But there's no doubt at all that he thinks and acts in an extraordinarily prescient and inspired way. And not just that, but just the way he's run the company is, you know, to be across that kind of scale of operation and to retain your authority way into your 70s, to retain the focus and loyalty of the company, and to continue and to move into new formats, you know, to move into television from print, to say, right, I mean, he's kind of fumbled around with the interweb to a certain degree, and he doesn't really get it. And he's kind of stood up and said, I don't really get it, but my God, I've got to have people who do get it. James really gets it. James really gets it. So you think, you know, he's a genius, that he has done better than anybody else because he is cleverer than anybody else.
So that's it. Reports and analysis continue on MediaGuardian.co.uk, and don't miss Andrew Neil's cover story in the print edition of Media Guardian on Monday. I'm Matt Wells. More media talk soon, perhaps even sooner than you think.
Guardian Unlimited.